So thank you. So today I'll be telling you about how quantum computing is going to change everything about encryption and security. And unfortunately, I only have 15 minutes, and so this will be a very quick overview, but I think many of you probably don't appreciate just how important it will be. And so I hope this is sort of the first example of this. So first, what is a quantum computer, and how is it so different from a normal computer? Normal computers work with bits, which are just ones and zeros. Everything on a normal computer is just a one or a zero at the most fundamental level. Quantum computers, on the other hand, work with quantum bits, or qubits. That's Q-U-B-I-T there. So a qubit can be a one and a zero at the same time. And mathematically, it is actually sort of like this. It's actually the surface of a sphere, is how we represent it. And the North Pole is like a one, and the South Pole is like a zero, and you could happen to be at the North or South Pole, but you're also free to be anywhere in between. And so this is how a qubit can actually be a zero and a one at the same time if you're, for example, on the equator. You're exactly halfway between them. So it's sort of like a qubit can do two calculations at once. And two qubits could do four calculations at once, and three could do eight at once, and so forth. And there's no real limit to how many qubits you could build if you could actually get the technology to work. And so we're talking about building quantum computers with thousands or tens of thousands of qubits. So it's vastly more powerful than anything that a normal computer could ever do. We already know of about 80 groups in the Western Hemisphere alone that are building quantum computers. So this really does exist. This isn't science fiction or Star Trek or something. These really do exist. It really took off about 5 years ago. So these are some examples of the groups building them. You'll recognize many of the names. They're literally studying billions. People are very, very motivated because they know how powerful it can be. This is a kind of a summary of what quantum computing can do, and I would love to spend days telling you about each of these, but for this talk, I'm just going to focus on the right-hand side for quantum communication and encryption, because I think this is the most relevant to you. So the reason that encryption works pretty well most of the time is because you're not actually sending sensitive information. You're sending an encrypted version of the sensitive information, which means you apply a mathematical formula for the information, and you garble it up, and you transmit that, and then the receiver uses some sort of key or password to decrypt it. Now, the process isn't foolproof. This formula could actually be undone if you had a sufficiently powerful computer, but it's usually just not practical to do this. It would take a supercomputer like millions of years to decrypt that formula, and so it's probably just not worth the effort of compared to whatever value that information had. And so that's why encryption actually works pretty well most of the time. The situation, I mean, is pretty different with a quantum computer, on the other hand. So we've actually known for a few decades, even before we had built quantum computers, that they're really good at hacking. This was discovered about 25 years ago, that quantum computers are actually really good at undoing the formula used in most versions of encryption. And to illustrate just how big of a problem this is a very quick overview of all the encryption methods. The top half of the screen is about 99% of online encryption methods. So you might recognize some of the names like RSA, and Elliptic Curve, and Diffie-Hellman. So all of these are vulnerable to hacking by quantum computers. Now, it won't be today. We don't have the computers built well enough yet. But in about 10 years, this could be a threat. I would encourage you to not wait 10 years before you do something about it, because it takes time to build up the defenses. You can't change your infrastructure overnight. So people are already starting to think about this. The lower half of the page, this is a new generation of encryption algorithms which are secure, or at least believed to be secure. In fact, just about a month ago, the US government, a group called NIST specifically, published a list of 26 different candidates which we think are secure against quantum computing. We're not sure, but they encourage people to actually try to hack them before we actually use this in a practical sense. So we don't know what the new methods will be, but one thing that we do know is that they will all need random numbers. And that seems kind of silly. Why would encryption need random numbers, and why would this be so important? So anytime you use these keys for encryption, you want it to be random. You want to make sure that no one could possibly predict what it could be. And it's not so easy to come up with a random number. The obvious ways that you could think of, like rolling a die or asking your computer, are actually not so random. So rolling a die, if you really wanted to predict how a die would land, you could. If you knew the weight of the die and how you threw it and the wind pressure and all these things, It's usually not practical to do that, but if you really wanted to predict it, you could, which means someone else could predict that number. And asking your digital computer for a random number is also not random. It just applies some formula to make numbers which look random, but if someone had a sufficiently powerful computer, they could actually predict that formula. So that's not so good either. So it turns out in quantum physics, you can produce truly random numbers. Everything we've learned about quantum physics for 100 years says that it can produce truly random numbers. And our company has actually built a device that does this. So it uses this concept called quantum entanglement. And this is a very special property of quantum physics. It means that particles can be linked even over wide distances. And whatever quantum state one particle is, another one is, but it's broken as soon as someone observes it. So you might have heard of Schrodinger's cat, for example. It's sort of like quantum things can be in this strange superposition or exist in two states at once, but as soon as you observe it, it gets spoiled and it has to choose one or the other. So we actually have built a device which produces truly random numbers based on quantum entanglement. And the reason that we did this is because it means that we can prove, using physics and mathematics, that no one else knows what those keys are. It's absolutely hack-proof. There's no way to predict it. It's based on quantum physics, not just a complicated formula. So we've actually built a device. In fact, this was taken just last month at the RSA conference in San Francisco. So there's the device, and we kind of we added cool lasers and everything just to show people that that really was kind of neat. So the actual device will be a server rack size. And we're also speaking with several companies about cloud distribution because we know that not everyone has a server. So our device produces these random numbers for encryption keys. And so you can just plug it into your existing security system. So it's something that can be done right now, today, which will be absolutely necessary in a few years for these post-quantum encryption algorithms that are being studied right now. So the second application of this is actually watermarking. And I've heard several people talk about watermarking, so I don't need to explain what that is or why it's relevant to you. But one thing that you might not appreciate is that it needs random numbers. Because you want to make sure that if you're watermarking, people can't predict how it's watermarked. If they could, they could undo it. So there has to be some random element in that watermarking algorithm, whatever it is. And so you could use our IronBridge device, not just for encrypting data, but also for watermarking. Just plug it into your existing watermarking scheme using these random numbers. And so, so there's the obvious application to your industry. We're also speaking with e-contract companies and healthcare data who want to make sure that people don't distribute this data where they shouldn't. So to just briefly kind of summarize our company, so we're about 5 years old, and we have about 75 people, which, funny enough, actually makes us one of the oldest and largest quantum computing companies. So all we do is quantum computing. We're based in the UK, as you might have guessed from the name. We're actually based in Cambridge, England, but we have offices around the world. I happen to live in Berkeley, California. We also have offices in DC and Tokyo. We're focused only on quantum computing applications that can be done right now. We do both software and hardware for this IronBridge device, and we actually were recently asked by the British government to be the official quantum advisors for all the British corporations. And so we're quickly making a name for ourselves. So that's it. I just wanted to quickly summarize why quantum computing is so relevant to your industry. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.